Have you ever struggled with fear in your life? Have you ever had the thought that I am not brave? Well, I'm here today to tell you that you are. Welcome to the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in here today. Each week, a friend and I get together and share stories of what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, enjoy your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. And remember, no matter what your story is, you are brave. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brave Podcast. Sorry I missed you guys last week. I lost my keys in the woods while I was hiking up in the Yosemite, and that took a whole day that I didn't expect. And so, just being exhausted, I did not put out another episode. So if you're on the email list, you got that info, told my story. If you want to hear my story, I'm probably going to put up a blog post so you can read about what I did. But yeah, that is why there was no episode last week. So there's one this week, and still didn't find my keys. But thankfully, I have lots of friends who have my spares to things because I lose a lot of things. So I was able to use my spare keys to now drive my car and get in my house. It was quite an adventure. It's supposed to be a short day hike, which turned into a 13-hour fun 10-mile hike ordeal. So yeah, that's what happened to me, and that's why there wasn't an episode last week. But this week there is an episode, and you are going to love our guest. Her name is Cassandra Philogene. She talks about her relationship with God and us building a relationship with God. I had so much fun talking to her, and her love and zeal for getting to know God more was just such a wonderful thing to encounter and talk about. And after talking to her, it really made me look at my relationship with God and see, like, how can I get to know him more? And just side note, for me to really feel God is being outdoors. Like, you guys, I love to be outside. That's when I talk to God the most. And I don't know if you ever have this problem of comparison, but I'll compare my walk with God with others. I'm like, oh, they do it this way, I should be doing this way. And so I end up like putting on all this stuff on myself that I'm not supposed to. And God's like, this is how we talk. This is how they talk. This is their relationship. This is our relationship. Don't compare. And we kind of talk about that and talk about relationships and just talk about everything awesome about the Lord. And it was such a fun podcast interview. Cassandra has her own Instagram ministry, and she does YouTube videos as well, doing different Bible studies. She has the Enoch 365 Bible study that she does. It's really great. Enoch walked with God for 365 days, and so she's doing the same. It's really cool. I'm going to put all her info in the show notes. So without further ado, here is my interview with Cassandra Philogene.
Okay. So this is the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and I have on today Cassandra, and I don't want to butcher your last name. How do you say this?
Yeah. It's Philogene. No problem. It's Cassandra Philogene, which is interesting because both my first and my last name are Greek origin, but my parents are from the Caribbean, so it's very strange.
That's awesome. Where in the Caribbean are they from?
From Haiti.
Oh, very cool. Have you been?
Yes, I've been to Haiti a few times.
Yeah. How was it? It's on my list to go.
So the people are so genuine and so kind. My father, at least, is from the country. I never got to visit the actual city. It was just too dangerous the times that we went, but I got to hang out in the countryside, and it was just beautiful. It's crazy because in one side, you'll be at the beach, and then like 10 minutes later, you can be up on the mountainside. And wow. Yeah, I really enjoyed the time that I went.
Very, very cool. So let's get into your story and who you are. So you are an author. Can you give us the inspiration behind your latest book and tell us about that?
Sure. So my book is called The Power of the Gospel in Your Relationships. And it stemmed from my journey with my relationship with God and with other people. So one day I was in my apartment and I was by myself, and I heard this voice say that you don't know me. And it was really strange because I was like, I'm alone. So I figured it must be God talking to me. And my retort to that was, of course I know you. Ask me anything in the scriptures and I'll tell you where they're at. And God was like, you know about me, but you don't know me. And that hit me kind of hard because it's almost like as if you know how we know celebrities, like we'll see them on social media or we'll follow them and we think that we know everything about them. Right. But the reality is that if they were to see us on the street, they would have no idea who we are.
Wow.
And so that's where I felt like my relationship with God was. He was definitely a celebrity. I went and saw him with people on the weekends, and I would read through the Bible mostly for a proof text, almost to prove to people you're wrong and I'm right.
Yeah.
And God was like, yeah, that's definitely not my spirit. And that's not why I gave you the word. It sent me on a 7-year journey to read the Bible. Now, I've read the Bible before in like 52 weeks or like, you know, sometime within a year. But this time I was reading it with intentionality and purpose of getting to know the God of the Bible. And it took me 7 years.
Wow.
And 32 college ruled notebook, spiral notebooks, writing down my thoughts and what I was getting from the Word of God. And that's how the book came to be.
So how did you conduct your study? 7 years, an in-depth study. That is amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a while. So as I was reading, I now saw the Bible as one narrative.
Okay.
Right? So like you have the beginning in Genesis, which the first two chapters are, you know, a perfect God, a perfect people, and a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
And the last two chapters in Revelation reflect that, a perfect God, a perfect people, and a perfect place. You have the tree of life here. You have the tree of life here. You know, they talk to God face to face. They see God's face. And so the Bible pretty much was, as I was going through, was I was like, it's mirroring each other. So I was like, so the whole point is like, you know, we were together with God. We messed up. He said, this is how I'm going to help you get to the other side. And the rest of the story is how are we getting to the other side? And so that's just how I saw it and started reading it because, you know, you have Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1 is like creation in chronological order.
Yeah.
You get to chapter 2 and it's creation again, but this time it's relational. Because the name of God actually changes from chapter 1 to chapter 2. And then so I got me a Bible of that's Greek and Hebrew.
Okay.
And I was going back and forth. And I found out that the name of God in chapter 1 in Genesis, which changes chapter 2 in Genesis, is the relational name of God, is the covenantal name of God.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is amazing. So the name of Yahweh is his covenantal name.
Okay.
Versus his name of, you know, Jehovah or Elohim is his name of power.
Oh,
and so just looking into those nuances, but I started reading and I was like, I mean, 7 years is a long time. And then I was like, wait a minute, why would they change the name of God here? In the beginning, God. And then it's like the Lord God. And I was like, what was the point? And then so I went and did some research and it was like, oh, this is Yahweh, this is his covenantal name. And so that's why chapter 2 is about relationship when he creates Adam, when he breathes into his nostrils. So the first face that Adam sees is love of God looking back at him.
I love seeing it in that view. And I'm with you. I love geeking out and finding like the meanings of what's in the Bible. Like, what is this Yahweh? Like, what is this meaning of God? And there's so many different names for him. So many. And I like love the ancient Hebrew lexicon and songs. And I just love to look up words. I love to know what things mean. And I didn't know that the names change from chapter 1 to chapter 2. That is really cool. I haven't dug into that yet, but that's amazing. And just imagine Adam, the first thing he sees is loving face looking down. That is the coolest
right. Thing. It blew my mind because also as I'm reading, sometimes I felt like this voice was like, go back. You're reading through this too quickly. And you're missing the point. And, you know, because we read, okay, so God created Adam. And then he realized, oh, I didn't have anybody. And then God created Eve. And then God was like, it's more than that. So the first person that Adam had a relationship with was with God. The first person that Eve had a relationship with is not with her husband. It was with God, her father. Because it says that God brought the woman to him. So while Adam was asleep, God had that time and that moment to bond with Eve before he was like, here is your husband. And so often, especially like women, like we're searching for that special someone. And God's like, I need to be prioritized where I'm first.
Yeah.
And then I can lead you to your husband. And so those are some of the things and nuances that I saw that I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And that's pretty much how the book came out, was I'm looking through the lenses of relationship as I'm reading the scriptures.
Yeah. And it's so important. And I'm learning that too, because I'm single and God's like, I have to be first. And it's so easy when you're in a relationship. And people have told me you actually have it easy now because you just have you and God to worry about. But then you're married and then you have you, God, and this person, and that person can never be above God. And when that happens, the relationship crumbles. God has to be first.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You said that. I hear that all the time. Like, oh, girl, you're lucky. You're single. Just be happy. And I'm like, well, I have no problem being happy, but are you miserable? Like, what is going on here? Yeah, exactly. And then the same thing you said, they're like, no, like when it was just me and God, I could focus on just me and God. But then they're like, now it's either I have to get up earlier to spend time with God, or I'm cutting my time to spend time with God because I have other responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And I guess for now, I'm good in my singleness because,
yeah. Same. And I'm learning, because the Lord told me one day, this season's not going to last forever. There will be another person covet this season. I get up now and it's just me and the Lord in the morning. And I love that time. I get 2 solid hours where I start my day, I hang out with God, read and get filled up. And I look at my friends who have kids, and yes, I want those things, but to think of having to find ways to steal time to get time with God, I'm like, oh, I don't know what that would be like and how I would handle that. So I'm now in this season, I would love a mate, but at the same time, I'm like, this is great. I can just access the Lord whenever I want right now.
That's amazing. I honestly feel the same way. I see my friends who have children, like you said, and look, they have spouses and they're taking care of all these things. And I'm just like, I'm just going to hang out with Jesus. And that's not a thing that they can say. Because by the time they can, they're exhausted. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Good luck finding that balance. Right now, it's just me and God.
So how long has it been just you and God? And like, how long has that relationship kind of just grown stronger?
So the journey started in 2011.
Okay.
I finished it, my 7 year from Genesis to Revelation, towards like the end of 2018. And I was like, well, what do I do now, God? Then we read through the Bible. What do we do now? And he was like, go back and read it again. And then, but you know, you get to the point where like, well, I read it, you know,
exactly.
Why am I reading it? Like, well, and then I went through and just started reading, not necessarily from beginning to end, but reading different sections and passages in the Bible that really had spoken to me, and then me diving deeper into it. And one of them, of course, was Genesis. I could talk about Genesis forever.
Yeah.
Actually, in my book, I want to say more than a third of it is definitely just rooted in Genesis, because it's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of our relationship with God. Basically it says in the beginning, and then all the New Testament writers borrowed from Genesis.
Yeah.
Jesus borrowed from Genesis when he's speaking. Revelation borrows from Genesis when they call, you know, Satan the ancient serpent. Mm-hmm. They're pulling that from Genesis chapter 3.
Right.
And so just having that foundation, I was like, okay, God, it's like watching your favorite movie. And then you're like, oh, I didn't see that. You know, I was like, I can't believe I missed that. And you're like, well, I've seen it 100 times. But then you watch it again and you're just like, oh, okay, now this makes sense. That's the point where I've gotten to. And I guess that's really where my devotional kicked in. And it was like my 365 days. I was like, can you do this every single day? And at first I was like, yeah, sure. Then I was just like, ooh, I was like coming up with something every single day, God. And the Lord was like, you're relying on yourself. I need you to rely on me. Mm-hmm. Once I got that mindset, I was like, oh, well, I can't wait to write later, because this thing just happened or this just occurred. So yeah.
Very cool. So what is your favorite book in Genesis, or your favorite story?
Okay. My favorite story in Genesis is the beginning.
It's
creation. So, I mean, creation and the story of Abraham, which is interesting because Moses packs in, because, you know, he's the author of Genesis, you know, by the Holy Spirit, but he packs in like 1500 years of Earth's history in 11 chapters, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets to chapter 12, and from Abraham to his grandson and his great-grandson is 40 chapters. It's like Moses was racing to get to Abraham, and the reason why is because in Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham that through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. And that is the second time we see the promise of the Messiah. The first time was when they first messed up in Genesis 3:15. God was like, I'm going to send that seed and he will crush the devil's head or the serpent's head. But so a lot of people are like, well, how come the Bible is so heavily skewed towards the male? And God answered that question for me in Genesis 3:15, because the Bible writers are looking for the seed, which I said he would come. So they're writing with expectation, looking for that seed. It's not that God doesn't love women or they're not important. The issue is, who's the seed? Who's going to deliver us from this pain, from the sorrow, from death?
Yeah.
And it's the seed. And then you pick up in Abraham and God's like, through everybody on this earth, this one man's family, you can track them and you will find, and the seed will come. And that's why sometimes in the Bible, we'll have these long list of names.
Right, yeah.
But it's important because when you get to Matthew chapter 1, it has the genealogy of Jesus and you can track it.
Exactly.
So all that to say, yeah, my favorite section in Genesis is the beginning and then the story of Abraham.
I love his story too. And I love that God used someone who is really old and gave him such a crazy promise. You're going to look at the stars. You won't be able to number your descendants. Right. And he's like, dude, I'm old. I'm like in my 90s. What? And I just love Abraham's faith where he's like, okay. And he just leaves everything and goes. And he makes mistakes along the way, like Hagar and all that. But God's like, that's okay. Just start over. And we just keep going. And I just love the relationship that they have because
that's a crazy promise.
It's a beautiful, I love it.
Yeah. You're saying exactly the right words. My mind is like, it's crazy and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because who does that?
Yeah.
God's like, well, time means nothing for me because I'm eternal. So like time, you know, so time's not a real thing. And I literally speak life into existence. So he's like, if I've chosen you, no matter what time happens or what may occur, just know that my words, when they come out of my mouth, they will come to pass. So yeah, that was an insane promise. Because you read it and you're like, okay, you couldn't find someone who was like in their 30s or 40s. He's like, I'm going to call this 75-year-old man. And then I'm going to fulfill this part of the promise to him in 25 years. What? What? When he's like 100 and dusty and old, and God's like, yep, that's when I want to do it.
That's the perfect time. And it works. And he got to live to see his son marry someone else.
And then after that, which is crazy, he has like 6 more children.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Like, because I remember you always hear Father Abraham many sons, and like you're reading through it. And then you get to this part of Genesis where it's like he marries this woman named Keturah and he has like 6 more kids. I was like, wait a minute. By now your son is like 40 years old. And now you're like, you're having kids again. Yeah. And I was like, God, you're amazing. Cause I mean, that's the only thing you can say is that God's like, I promise you're going to have a lot of kids. Just trust me. Just trust me. Yeah.
So I have a question for you in the relationship with God. Sometimes we have doubts. Because things that God tells us, like Abraham's promise, just seems so crazy. So how do we combat those doubts from things that we either read in God's word or God tells us?
So, I mean, we know like in Hebrews, God is like, what pleases me is faith. God is so amazing. He meets us where we're at. So a lot of times people feel like, oh, I can't ask questions. God's like, my shoulders are broad enough to take your questions. Relax. He was like, because when you read the story of Job had a slew of questions.
Right.
Right. And it's interesting because when God speaks to him, starting in Job 38, God asked Job a slew of questions. And Job was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm unqualified. I made a mistake.
Yeah. He was like, why that? But the fact that God meets us where we're at. So one of my favorite, I guess it's a story, but it's more of a development of character. So when Jesus is with his 12 disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them betrays him, you know, and the other one denies him. And still, he loves them.
Yeah.
But then he dies, he resurrects. And right before he leaves, he gives them this huge commission. And a lot of people like to quote it. And it's like, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But right before we get to that text, it says that some doubted.
Mm.
And Jesus' response to their doubt is to have them work. God wants us to work our faith out, work our doubt out. Because we do have doubt. There's none of us are walking around. Not everyone can be Enoch and be translated, you know, praise the Lord. But we do have that doubt. And God's like, I'm going to meet you where you're at. And I'm going to ask you to work it out. And the best way to work out your faith and to work the kinks of doubt out is actually exactly what you're doing, is sharing the word of God, is talking about it. Because as we do it, we grow our faith. Mm-hmm. And that's how we teach, right? So that's how you work with children. You continue to show them and you teach them. And the more that you show, the more that they learn and the more that you learn.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I love sharing the word of God. People are like, oh, how do you know all these texts and where they're at? It's because I'm telling people about it. And repetition deepens memory. The way that our memories work and our brain works is that those positive reinforcements, they actually uplift our spirits.
Right.
And so God is saying, you may have doubt. I want you to go and work it out. Don't stay home and not tell anybody about me. Because it says that the very ones who saw Jesus heal people, multiply fish and bread, who resurrected Lazarus, who himself died and was resurrected, they still had doubt. Now, if you walked with Christ for 3.5 years and you still had doubt,
right?
How about us who never really have seen him? So God is like, if he's able to work with them 3.5 years and they had doubt, and he's like, I just want you to go out there and tell others what you know. And as you're doing that, I will be working on the doubt in your spirit. I will be working on your faith in your heart, and it'll grow. So that's the best way that I would say to work with doubt, because we all have it. And if he did not kick those other guys out after 3.5 years of spending with him and seeing all the miracles that he did, seeing him die and resurrect and speaking before them, and still he was like, okay, I know you have doubt, but this is what I want you to do. And then I think we're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think about, they were with him and they still questioned.
Yeah.
I was reading the feeding of the 5,000 and they still were like, how are we going to do this? And God, they're with Jesus. And they still, or like when Peter's on the boat and gets out of the boat and he's like, walk on water, and he doesn't. So it kind of helps me not have that, where I beat myself up for having doubt.
Yeah.
You definitely can. You definitely can shame and guilt yourself because
you
trust God. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times the enemy, because that's what he does, is that when we have that piece of doubt, he wants us to focus on it.
Yeah,
he does. Right? And as we focus on it, we separate ourselves from God, right? Because we're focusing on what can't be done, can't be done. And God's like, you can do all things through my strength, right?
Right.
Anything that you need, ask in my name and I will fulfill. So the absence of faith is doubt. And he's like, I can work with it. Even Abraham had some doubts and he was called the father of the faithful.
Yeah.
Right. And so, cause he was like, God, are you really going to do this? Well, let me sleep with this woman. I'm going to listen to my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and I caused this huge drama, but the enemy likes us to focus on it. And so as soon as a doubt starts coming in, be like, God, I have doubts about A or B. I have doubts about my finances or my schooling or my relationship. And I believe that you called this in my life. I need to give this to you. And I think it's one of the things that I've actually started learning, I don't know, no more than like a year now, of being completely transparent and vulnerable with God.
Yeah.
When I have a problem, I go to him first, or I'm like, okay, I'm stressed, or I'm not in the mood to read the word today because this is how I'm feeling. It has really elevated my relationship with him to a point where God's like, I know everything about you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I called you by name. Right. So he was like, there's nothing that you can throw at me that will surprise me. So if that's how you're feeling today, that's okay, because I already know that. So share it with me. And a lot of times we keep things inside and internal. Right. But once we're able to let that stuff go, then we can feel better. And then we can work on our relationship with God and with man.
Exactly. Because I know for myself, when I have problems and I'm like, well, God already knows. He knows everything. And God's like, but you still need to talk to me about it. Yes, I know everything, but you need to communicate what's going on because you're just holding it in. Do you feel good right now? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, talk to. And then you realize, oh, I feel 100 times better. Why did I not do this in the first place?
Yes.
God knows everything.
Yes.
It's so funny. So I had to ask you, so you have your Enoch 365. Why did you pick Enoch? And tell everybody about that devotional that you do.
Yeah. So well, I wanted to do, like I said, a devotional, which is 365 days. And then I was like, well, as I was reading, of course, in Genesis, Enoch lived for 365 years.
Yeah.
And it says that he walked and talked with God until God took him. And I was like, that's how I want my journey with God to be, is that we are walking and talking every day. And every single moment something happens, like, because Enoch was in a constant state of prayer. It's not like he stopped his life and he hid in a closet someplace and was praying continuously, but he was in continuous communication with God. And to the point where God was like, you get it, you know? So yeah. Come on over to my house, because Enoch couldn't live a moment without communicating with God, because God became his best friend. It's like when something exciting happens and you have that one person in your life that you really want to share it with, or something sad happens or devastating happens, you have that individual that you want to share it with. God became that individual for Enoch.
Right.
And God wants to be that individual for us. And so that was my challenge to myself. I was like, okay, 365. I was like, God, this is perfect. I mean, Enoch lived on this earth for 365 days. And it says that he walked and talked with you. And so this is what I want to do. And so my devotional blog is my relationship with him, but it's Enoch 365. I pretty much talk about everything. I mean, at first I was very hesitant of putting my life online, but I was just like, you know what? This is what's going on. Maybe someone else is struggling with this,
right,
and maybe this can help them. And a lot of times secrets have a way of burdening us and weighing us down. And so when you share it and what God has done for you, what you're doing is sharing your testimony. There was one day last year that was just so heavy for me. I would say it was probably my shortest entry. A really good friend of mine, a family member, actually had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I can't wrap my head around it. I don't understand. This person loves you. They serve you. I just don't understand, because you who stood up and calmed the sea, calmed the winds, you who opened your mouth and you came upon nothing, you said something and created everything, you who formed us in the womb, what happened here?
Yeah.
Right? And so I was struggling with it. And then the devotional kind of ended with like, I don't know. I don't have answers for this. And God was like, that's okay. He's like, you don't always have to have the answers. He's like, but I do. But what I do need you to do is to trust me and know that everything that happens to you or to your loved ones, I feel it. They're the ones who are mourning. I'm mourning. And sin is that terrible, that it snatches life before it has a chance to live it. And so it was really difficult for me, just a few days at least. And I was like, I was struggling to, okay, you got to write the blog. But I'm like, I don't want to write, because I'm really disappointed in you, God, because we prayed and you could have stepped in.
Yeah.
But still, she lost this baby. And so I had to balance in my head that God was like, I work all things out for the good. But not everything that works out, not everything that comes to be is what I want it to be.
Right.
Because I never would want a child to be hurt. I would never want someone to be abused. And I would never want a baby to die. But I will work everything out. And I just need you to trust me. And so moments like that is where I can go back and look at the blog and see periods of growth.
Right.
And to be where I was literally hanging on by a piece of thread in faith, and other times where it's like a huge rope I'm holding on, and I'm swinging and I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, exactly.
So this year I am continuing the blog, but it's weekly. So it's going to be 52 blogs for this year, but the 365 days are still there and people are still responding to it, which I appreciate, because sometimes I'm like, God, I don't think anyone cares about this.
Yeah.
And he's like, keep writing, because that's what I've called you to do. And so I'm like, okay.
That is so true. Because I hit that same wall when I do this. I'm like, no one cares about this. And God's like, you don't know what seed you're planting. Keep doing it. And one of my guests was like, don't grow weary in doing the good.
Yeah.
Forget that exact verse, but he's like, there's a verse that says that, don't. I'm like, all right. And it was just like, it refreshed me to keep going. Cause yeah, you can get real discouraged and like, what's the point?
Yeah.
But God uses everything. Absolutely. No,
he really does. And I love that you said he plants the seed, because that's exactly what's happening, right? What you're doing and how you're communicating with people, and you're instilling hope. And it's challenging to have that and then to get up and to have the conversations with people and going back and forth. But the seeds that you're planting, you may never see come to fruition until you're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, it really does. And how God can just use all of it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, when it comes to telling people about the Lord, and I don't know if you ever do this, but I put on the onus on myself. It's like, I have to be the one to save them. And God's like, no, that's not your job. He's like, it's your job to just share, like you said, your testimony, and it just plants a seed. You may not see right away what happens, but it sticks with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're 100. Sometimes, like when I used to travel, or even when I'm driving, I'll see all these people. I'm like, God, how am I going to reach them? How am I going to have a chance to let all these people know? God was like, I need you to take a deep breath. And the ones that I've put in your sphere of influence, you need to worry about that. And then the story of Elijah comes to mind, where Elijah's stressed and he's overwhelmed.
Right.
And then God was like, I have my 7,000. I have 7,000 individuals that you don't know anything about that have not turned away from me, and they're still working. Because Elijah was like, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm it. And they're trying to kill me. God was like, I have 7,000. So it's okay.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm worried about, and then, you know, I see individuals like you, and I'm like, okay, so I'm not alone. And God was like, no, you're not. I'm like, I have my people everywhere. Yeah. I'm working at all times, because as much as you love them, I love you to the point where I gave my life to them. Right. So he was like, trust me, I'm working. And I was like, okay, I can take a deep breath.
So you now have your devotionals on YouTube. What is it like doing that and being on like a video platform?
Oh my gosh. So no one would ever like really believe me when I say I'm an introvert, right?
Me too. So, I am also an introvert.
Yay. Okay, good. So it was really hard at first to do it. Again, I look at my old videos. I can't even watch more than like 2 minutes. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so awkward. But then I get really excited about the talking about God, and I forget like what's going on. And then towards the end, I'm like, oh, okay, bye. I definitely have grown. And it's actually, today is my 1 year anniversary in doing it, April 1st. So it has been a challenge. There definitely were times where I didn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when like viewership was really down, and I was like, God, what am I doing? And then I found myself being sucked in to this social media standard.
Oh, gosh,
where I'm checking how many likes I got, or how many people shared this video, or what are my numbers? And I found myself doing that on Instagram as well. And God was like, what are you doing? And I was like, God, oh my gosh, only like this many people watched, or this many people liked. And he was like, seriously, what are you doing? And then I found myself changing things to meet the expectations that I thought people were looking for.
Right.
And God was like, well, you're not being genuine, so I'm not quite sure what you want me to do. And so I had to take a good hard look and be like, okay, if one person's on here and if zero people, whatever, I'm just going to do me and talk about Jesus, and how people feel about it. They feel about it, and they don't like it, and they don't like it, then don't watch. And that's when I started getting more comfortable and just talking about God. And last week was really, really hard, because it was just a lot going on. Every time you take a look at the news and media, it's been terrible. And then last Thursday, my brother, my baby brother, went to work, and he wasn't feeling well. He was kind of tired. And I was like, stay home. Just, he was like, I'm thinking about calling out. I'm like, call out. And he was like, no, I'm going to go work because I need this money. I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And so he works at a store, and so that was Thursday. So last Monday, you know, the whole shooting in Boulder, Colorado, where the guy like shot everybody down and 10 people died at the grocery store. I'm still on high alert the week before, the guy in Atlanta.
Right. That was crazy.
And yeah. And so I find out Thursday night, my brother comes home, that they had this guy who was belligerent and they told him he had to leave the store. And then the guy flashed his gun. And I was like, what happened here? And I was like, God, thank you so much for protecting my brother and the people that he worked with. I was struggling to do the live, because I do it live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. because my heart was so burdened. Yeah. It was so heavy. And that morning, in my own private devotion with God, I was reading, I think it was Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus was saying, lay your burdens down on me. He's like, give me your burdens. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right. He's like, give them to me. And I just started bawling. Like, I was there doing live, and that thought process came to me. It was like, God, my brother could have died. Yeah. You know, people are out here losing their mind. The Spirit of God is removing himself from the earth. And I about lost it. They're like, people are like, girl, it's okay. And I was like, look, this is who I am. And I'm apparently an emotional person. So God was able to show me this world's not going to get better. And if you're falling apart now, right?
Yeah.
So he was like, I need you to trust me. And I need you just to spend that time with me every single day, because that's where you're going to find your strength. Right. You're not going to find it reading the news articles or watching the news. That's not going to help you. You're going to find your strength in me. That means you have to spend uninterrupted time with God. And so the three things I actually mentioned in my book about how to develop relationships, number one, it's going to have to be time.
Yeah.
And number two, it has to be communication. And number three is vulnerability. Any intimate relationship that you're trying to have, you need those three components. So I was able to set uninterrupted time with me and God, communicating with his word, and then being vulnerable, being honest. There were certain sins in my life that I enjoyed. And I was like, I don't want to give them to you. And it took me a long time to be honest with him. And he's like, well, about time that you're honest, because I was living pretentiously like, oh, no, everything's good. And God's like, who are you talking to? Like, I know everything about you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is so persistent and so wonderful. I was praying and the thought came to mind again. It was like, can we talk about this sin? And finally, I was like, okay, if you don't want this in my life, you have to take it away. Because I can't give it. And he did. Like, an absolute miracle that, you know, I stopped. It wasn't like immediately it was gone. It was you know how it says, like, the righteous man falls seven times and then the unrighteous just sits there. Right. No, but the reason why we fall is because we got back up. And so I was falling, like, less frequent. Before it was just, like, all the time. And then it was, like, every once in a while. And then it was, like, a longer time. I was, like, God, you're doing a work. And so those three components of time, communication, vulnerability, I was able to feed into the book, because that was how I grew my relationship with God while reading the scriptures.
I love that. And vulnerability, it's a hard thing. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is hard. And when the Lord brings, like, those sins to mind, you're just like, oh, you cringe at it. But God's it's okay. He's like, let's talk about it. Let me clean you up so you're okay.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Oh, it really is. And there are sins in my life that I cherish. Like, it wasn't like, oh, no. I was like, these are my cherished sins. I was like, I don't do anything bad to hurt people, you know? And God was like, yeah, but this is blocking us from getting to know each other more. And I was like, it's just this little thing. And he was like, yeah, it's not going to work with us. And a lot of times the Bible compares our relationship with God, like, in a marriage, in a union. And it's like the husband and wife, like, you're together and you're married. But then one spouse is like, I just have the number of one friend. We used to date, but we don't date anymore. Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to let them go. I like them in my life. Yes, we may have slept together.
Yeah.
But it's in the past. I don't want to let go of them right now. You know, and the other spouse is like, what are you talking about? Why are you talking to this person? Well, we only talk once every while, and we talk for a couple hours at a time. Maybe we go to dinner once in a blue moon, but you'll be okay because I'm with you. What are you talking about? Yeah. God made that very clear. He's like, how would you feel if your husband had one name left in his little black book and just wouldn't give it up? I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, you'd be like, we're done. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, so this one sin in your life, you're not willing to give up. And I was like, touche. That's like, touche, Father, touche. So that's what I was like, well, if you don't like this, then you're going to have to take it because I just don't know how to give it to you. And he's like, that's all I need. I just need permission. And so God is a gentleman. Like, he's compassionate, and he's the enemy does not need your permission. He will run up on you.
He'll just steal from you. He's like, I'll just take this and this and this and push you down. And you're just like, what is happening to me?
Yeah. Yeah. God is a gentleman, and he reaches out and he's like, I love you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. Zephaniah 3:17 says, when he thinks about us, that he sings. I'm like, this God is amazing.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. I love it. So what are your goals for the rest of this year? What do you see for yourself for 2021?
So for 2021, I definitely want to write another book. I did a companion book to go with my workbook, to go with the book. So it's a workbook, and I'm really excited about that. But I'm terrible, honestly, at marketing myself.
Oh, it's hard because it's so much work. It's another job. You're like, I already have these
jobs.
And
that's just it. Yeah. I used to be like, why are people paying individuals to market for them? And then I started doing it for myself, and I was like, oh, that's why. But I also want to write some children's books.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, about the Bible and make it interesting, because I remember growing up, and it's almost like I hear the same stories over and over again.
Right.
But there's no like level of depthness into it. If young people are able to use electronic devices, like 6-month-olds can use a cell phone or an iPad. I was like, we can tell them stories about Jesus. I was like, they can figure this out at like 1 or 2. No, we can talk about Jesus. So that's one of the things I definitely want to work on. And then there's another book in the works. And this one's going to be a devotional book. It's going to be a 3 to 65 days. So I'm working on that. So those are my plans for 2021, is because my deepest desire is to tell people about God in whichever format or platform he gives me. What you're doing as a podcast is amazing. I cannot do it.
No.
No, it's true. And actually, I'll show you like this information that I have. It's like this podcast. Oh. Whenever I went through it and I was like, oh no. this is too complicated. I was like, maybe in 2030, Jesus, if you're not here yet. But I was like, kudos to all the podcasters, because when I'm doing the YouTube live, I'm just talking, right? Yeah. You've been so engaging. Like, I'm still talking so much, but I was like, you've been so engaging. I was like, and the people who are podcasters, like, you guys have a gift. Like, this is not the gift that God has given me. So it's definitely not podcasting. I mean, what you're doing is absolutely amazing to be able to do that and talk to people. That's definitely a special gift. Because I looked through this and I was like, I have to, what? No. I was like, yo, maybe I could. And I was like, oh no, I was like, this is not for me, because it's definitely, I think, the gift of hospitality, but just in a different format, right? You're not literally inviting someone physically into your home, but you're inviting them into your space. And maybe one reason why I'm still extremely single, but I was like, that's definitely not my gift. So what you doing and how you do it, God bless you. Let's like, seriously.
Thank you. And it's so funny. The Lord, this was God, because I'm a writer and I'm also a hider. I'm an introvert. So I don't like being on camera. I don't like being the spotlight of anything. And
right.
So in 2019, God's like, I want you to start a podcast. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, yes, you are. And what I do when God tells me something that scares me, I just kind of table it and like, maybe he asked me that. And then God, being as cool as he is, he went through other friends who were like, hey, so the Lord told me that you're going to start a podcast. I'm like, what? You snitched on me, God. What in the?
And he will.
He will. He will totally like, okay. He's like, you're saying no. I will find ways and make it really obvious for you that I want you to do this thing. And I'm so glad that he did, because it's been the biggest blessing. And I've met amazing people. And I love stories. And I love storytelling. And so it's kind of another format to write by doing this. I would have never guessed this for myself. And God's like, this is perfect for you. And he was right. He's always right.
Yes. Well, there you go. That's true. Like, he really is. So I'm glad that you followed and you listened to him, because no, seriously, kudos to you guys. Because I was like, yeah,
it's rough. Podcasting is, it's work, but it's fun. I love it. Yeah.
It's great.
All right. And so my final question for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
Probably one of the weakest points of my life. This person who I thought I was going to marry. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, we're good. Everything is wonderful. Like he's it. And God was like, this is not the one for you. And I was like, am I hearing this? Because I was like, is the devil coming here to try and trick me? Yeah. You know, like when Abraham heard the voice, go sacrifice your son. I had a double take. And I was like, God, I was like, this person's in the church. We're perfect together. Like this, we're perfect together. And then God was like, this isn't the one for you. And I had to make that choice to be single and in God or to be married with this individual. And the Lord was like, I need you to step out on faith and believe in me. And it was hard. And I remember weeping. And I was like, God, this is for someone else. You've called someone else to this. This isn't for me. And when I told the individual, like, hey, you know, we're not, God is not here for this relationship in this way. They came clean to let me know that, you know, that they were seeing someone else. And so I was like, huh. Okay, God, you knew this, but I did not.
Yeah.
And I was planning a life with someone, which I don't even honestly remember asking God. I just like, this person's in the church. We're good. We went to college together. I was like, this is how it's going to work out. You know, they loved me. I love them, supposedly. But then they were like, yes, I'm also seeing someone else, but you're the main one for me. And I was like, whoa. This is definitely not the way I work it. But before he told me that, I had to step out on faith and realize that being alone, but in the will of God was better than being outside of it with someone else.
Right.
And then it was after that I found out he was kind of seeing someone else. He ended up marrying and they have two beautiful girls. Very happy for them. Yeah, but it was hard. It was hard. And God was like, I need you to step out on faith. Do you trust me? For a while, I was like, God, I'm happy where I'm at. Why are you pulling me away? But yeah, I that was the moment I realized I can be by myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm never alone. Right. God is always with me. So I guess that's the moment I realized that I'm brave. I'm definitely scared of a lot of things, but in that aspect, being by myself, but never alone, it changed my whole perspective in life.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that story. Thank you. And I've loved this whole time. It's so great to be able to
I really enjoyed it. I was like, this was, out of all my podcast interviews, this has been the most enjoyable. It's just been like, I'm having a conversation with a friend.
Yeah, it's been really great. Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to you as well. This has been so good. And I'm going to have to definitely pick up your book and check it out.
Oh, yes. Please do.
Yeah. And where can people find you? Where's your website? Where are your books? Where's everything?
Yeah. So all my information is actually on CassandraPhillajean.com. And so I have my website there. I have the blog there. I'm a website. I have my blog there. I have the book there, the YouTube. It's all there. Just a girl who loves Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Cassandra. This was great.
Thank you so much for letting me come here and be here with you. This has been awesome.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. Here are my ask. Ask number one is to subscribe. Right now my website is down, so it's hard to go and subscribe on the website, but you can go subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. I'm trying to think of other podcast sites, Pandora, iTunes. I'm all out there. You can subscribe there so you can get the episodes in your ear on Wednesdays when they drop. Also, you can join the email list. Right now, you can just message me on Instagram or you can email me at peachandcowley@gmail.com. I will add you to the email list and that way you get the episodes a day early and you get to find out about all the fun things that are going on with the podcast and other little fun tidbits of what's going on in my life. So yeah, subscribe. Second, ratings. Ratings help me know what you're loving about the show. It helps others find the show. It is a great way for the show to grow, and I covet and love your ratings. I appreciate them. I read them. So thank you so much for those of you who've left ratings. And then finally, share. Share the episode with a friend. If you have a friend who you think would benefit from what they heard today, you can share the episode. A lot of the apps like Spotify and iTunes and all them, they have a little button you can push that says share, and you can share it through Messenger, you can share it via email, you can just share it in that way. That way it gets out to your friends and also spreads the word about the podcast, which helps it grow. And I love that and appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Now the next week is another wonderful guest that's coming on. She's sharing her testimony from going from a life of alcoholism to a life of freedom with Christ. It's really great. You're going to absolutely love her. And that will be the final episode for May. And then June and July, there will be no episodes. I am taking a break. I'm so excited for summer break. You know how we used to do back when we were in school, like college, all that? Man, I miss summer break vacation. That should be instituted for us adults. We need breaks. 2 weeks is not enough, people. Someone fix that. All right. So I'm taking 2 weeks off from the podcast, but you can catch up on other episodes. And I hope to bring you wonderful new content back in August. I mean, in August, not back in August, because you can't go back to August because August is forward. Yeah. I'm going to go now. Thank you guys for tuning in. Love you much, and I will see you next week. Bye.